Well, hi, everybody. It's November 12th, 2020. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, as the music ends quite abruptly. All right, and thanks so much for being with us today or on the archives, and we archive every show now over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our home website for the American Consortium for Equity in Education. The American Consortium for Equity in Education. Yeah, that's something we believe in, and we're trying to get the industry, and we're doing it, and the educators in pre-K-12 to work together for equity, all right, in education and access to learning for all kids. It's really that important. It's free to educators. Please, we'd like to have your voice heard. We can even publish you in our magazine. I'll talk about that in a second. It's at ace-ed.org. Go over, see what we're doing, check it out. You will see the cover of the magazine, Equity and Access, there. That is our official online journal. It is a wonderful magazine, if I do say so myself. It's completely online. You'll really enjoy it. And it's got chock full of information, great advertisers, great products, great services, great editorial. Please check it out. Again, you can click on the icon. You'll see an icon over there for all of our podcasts, okay, and all kinds of information. So join with us. It's at ace-ed.org, the American Consortium for Equity in Education. We're quite proud of it, and we got great things planned for 2021. We tweet over at Access to, that's the number two, Access to Equity ED, Access to Equity ED. You can follow us over there or at EduTalk Radio. We link in with my name, Larry Jacobs, and we Facebook on my name, Larry Jacobs, and also at Education Talk Radio. So please friend us, follow us, link with us. Have some fun with us and get involved over at ace-ed.org. Got a good show for you today. Whiteboard Advisors, our friends, helped put this one together. I have to thank them right off the bat. We've got a gentleman named Steve Messler, who I'm really looking forward to talking to. Steve is the co-founder and CEO of Classroom Champions. And Steve is just like me, only kidding, Steve, is a three-time American Olympian. Only kidding. Okay, I'm lucky I can get out of bed in the morning.
You're a Boston guy. I'm a Buffalo guy. I think that's the...
You're from Buffalo? That ends this con. No, I'm only kidding. Patriots, Bills, I love you. Okay? No wonder you blop, Bob said. He at the 2010 Vancouver Winter Olympics, Steve, okay, you led the team to gold in four-man bobsled. Congratulations. And then you started Classroom Champions and started with you in 2009, working with a few kids, and all of a sudden, boom, you got 100 world-class athletes talking about social, emotional learning and working with 25,000 kids across the globe. So you are really something, Mr. Messler. How you doing, Steve? It's Larry here.
Larry, thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, my friend. It really
How's
is.
Everything out there?
Everything, it looks a little gray, like it might rain, and I think it was raining in New York, upstate New York yesterday, so it might be coming here. I'm not sure. So you must be very, let's just cut to the chase. You must be very proud of the Bills this year.
I'm very, very proud of the Bills. I appreciate you bringing them up right away, right at the beginning here. Yeah,
we have to get that out of the way. It's the Buffalo in the room, as we like to say. Not the elephant.
We do.
They deserve their great season. I always liked them ever since the Jim Kelly, Marv Levy days, and
it's
I am
hard.
A Patriots fan. Yeah, but still.
You know, I always tell people, I'm like, look, Buffalo's never crushed anybody's dreams. We've never stopped anybody from winning a Super Bowl at the Super Bowl.
No, you
so there's
not.
No reason to do anything but like Buffalo. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is, which actually aggravates me, I'm from Philadelphia. If I may just talk football for 1 second. I'm from Philadelphia. We are born with a genetic dislike of the Cowboys, okay? And the Cowboys have kept beating you guys in the Super Bowl, so I'm not really happy. But I hope this is a good year, and so far it is for the Bills. There you have it, my friend. Steve, okay, how'd you learn to bobsled? Tell people that, and then we'll get into this thing. Where the hell did you learn to do that?
You know, I mean, you guys, everybody at home didn't learn how to do it on television? No? Was it a thing? You know, I was at Decathlon, University of Florida. Growing up and born and raised in Buffalo, played soccer and track growing up, and then, you know, went and got a track scholarship at University of Florida. And I had a coach named Jerry Clayton there down in Gainesville in the mid-90s who had a guy who went from track to bobsled from, you know, a Texas school that he used to be at. And he always compared us to athletes, and I always laughed it off. Said, Coach, I'm going to the Summer Olympics. That's why I came to Florida.
That's what I was just thinking,
Yeah, and
Florida.
But the fact of the matter, exactly. I mean, the fact of the matter was, I had 5 years in a row of injuries, and including my senior year in high school, where I tore my hamstring in half. Luckily, after I had already, you know, won the national championship in high school and indoors, and signed my letter of intent to go to Florida, you know, five years later, I was sitting on my couch in Gainesville, 2 days out of elbow surgery. I just had Tommy John surgery, which is the same thing baseball pitchers have. Tore my elbow, throwing javelin in decathlon. And, you know, popped into my head. I was like, well, I guess I'm done being an athlete. You know, every athlete, everybody out there who's, you know, played sports in high school or at the collegiate level, you know, you had this moment where you just stop and go, okay, I'm done kind of pursuing this organized sports thing. And I just wasn't, I was too stubborn. Maybe it was the painkillers they had me on. I just thought, well, maybe bobsled. And I Googled, you know, with my free left arm, Googled U.S. Olympic Committee, emailed them, said, I'm this big, this strong, this fast. Got an email back from USA Bobsled the next day, and I was off and running.
They're literally off and running. Okay. And I'm just curious. And I'm just curious, your track background, you know, bobsled starts with that run, that push of the sled.
Mm-hmm.
Did the two coordinate like that?
They do. Yeah. I mean, we recruit big track athletes and fast football players. We're looking for people who, men and women who, you know, have size to them and strength to them, but also you got to be really fast to get that sled up to speed. It's the only time we get to affect the acceleration of the sled.
Wow, it's really, and it's, I mean, everybody, I have to say this before we get into Classroom Champions, everybody loves bobsled. I mean, there's just something fascinating about it, okay, you know, and it's just so cool is all I can tell you.
It was a great sport. It was, you know, honestly, for 10 years, I got to travel the world wearing tights, sliding down mountains and it was great. It was, you know, it was the most amazing experience. I learned to speak German while we spent so much time in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. You know, I have friends that I get to have for the rest of my life that we all got to do this really unique thing for quite a long time.
It's really fascinating. And is Classroom Champions your full time thing?
It is. It is. It didn't start off that way, it didn't start off that way, but now it is. Now it's, the passion. This is the new Olympics for us.
And I have to tell you, why don't you define it? I mean, you're sending athletes into classrooms. Okay. And from what I can gather, okay, although I may be wrong, a lot of it has to do with what we call social emotional learning, SEL. All right. And, But why don't you get into that? I want you to tell the story, how you started it, et cetera, et cetera.
Thank you. I mean, this is my favorite thing to talk about these days.
I bet it is.
So for all of you educators out there, Classroom Champions is a social-emotional learning curriculum and program and what we call scaled mentorship. You know, our goal really is to help teachers bring in, you know, what a lot of teachers refer to as the hidden curriculum. Now the SEL is starting to really take hold in schools, which is fantastic to see. I mean, if there's anything COVID has done, it has refocused education on the health and well-being of children and teachers.
That's exactly right.
That's fantastic. And they're thinking about SEL in new ways. They're thinking about the mental health and well-being of teachers in new ways. And that's what we've been all about from the beginning. My sister, who I started Classroom Champions with, who has her PhD in education and with a focus on teacher performance and is now a researcher at MDRC in New York City, a research organization. You know, both of our parents were teachers. Part of my degree was in education. My sister was a teacher and then went and got her doctorate because she wanted to improve the system.
Mm-hmm.
And it really came from something that I think all of us can relate to, which is I used to do what people who have been successful in life have done for centuries. I used to go into schools. I would give a talk. Kids would be excited because they were told they should be excited. Not necessarily. I wasn't Eli Manning or I wasn't, you know, Michael Phelps.
Yeah, but still, you're a gold medalist.
But
cool.
It's cool, but more for adults than for kids. You know, a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, they don't really understand that, you know, that it took 20 years for me to get there and for me to accomplish that. Adults, we can appreciate the effort and the hard work. Kids appreciate fame or things that they've seen on television. And that's okay. That's, you know, that's the generations that we've built. So I used to go and I'd give those talks. I'd leave. I'd never see those kids again. And I'd walk out and I'd do a thing that all people do. And I'd give the oldest one or two kids listened. It's worth my time. And I'll never forget. I'm sitting in my home here in Calgary, where I moved to train back in 2003 and stayed because my wife is from here. And I can see my old house from where I am right now. And as I can remember sitting on the curb out in front of that house, talking to my sister and lamenting that I just like those visits felt really empty to me. It felt really empty to me to go. There wasn't anything else I did in my life where I just kind of did it for the sake of doing it and thought, if something came out of it, great. If not, meh. And that's what school visits wound up being. You didn't know, if you went back 30 days later, maybe those kids remembered that they got out of math class.
Maybe one or two kids
got a spark. And
yep.
Yes, sparking, exactly. Yes, sparking one or two kids is important. Yes, I do not put that down. But what if we could spark an entire school over the course of an entire year? What if we can spark an entire district over the course of 5 years? And that's what we want to do at Classroom Champions. We wanted to find a way to make it more sustainable, make it relationship-based. I was a tech geek. I liked Skype. I liked, editing videos. And this is back in the, 2009, 2010. And what Classroom Champions has turned into is a nonprofit education organization that has had over 200 Olympians, Paralympians, NFL players, NHL players volunteering their time to connect virtually. We don't really send athletes into schools except for special occasions. We use technology. It helps teachers be more flexible. It helps give them some guidance. It helps give them some guardrails. And it makes it actually doable for the athletes, so we don't wind up with a bunch of gray-haired has-beens like me. We wind up with people who are going to the next games. We wanted kids to follow the path and see that. It's not just 2.5 weeks of glory on television. There's a process. And these things are hard to do. It's hard to get a career. It's hard to go and be successful in sports. And that's what these athletes are teaching them about. They're teaching them what it means, not only just, hey, go set goals. It's here's what a goal is. Here's what a short-term goal is. Here's what a long-term goal is. Here's what happens if you make your goal. Here's what happens if you don't. Here's who you tell your goal to. And they mentor the kids throughout the year via technology.
Oh, okay. So what does it look like? Okay, and by the way, I picked up that this is, and you said it before, but I want to make this clear. It seems like your work affects teachers, which they need very strongly this year, okay, with the pandemic, as well as it affects students, okay?
Yes,
and what I'm
correct.
Curious about, are you giving, I don't know how to ask this, so I'll just ask it and you can fill me in. Are you giving the teachers a curriculum to use in their classrooms? Okay, for a 2 week period, just tell me how it works once a school or a teacher or whatever says yes, let's do it. What happens then? Because we're talking about perseverance, we're talking about rigor, we're talking about building yourself up so you know you can get through something to the next step. If I may, that's some heavy duty stuff. Okay, so go ahead. What does it look like when a school gets involved?
It's the right question to ask. It not only, like you said, it's heavy stuff. It's also not things that teachers are trained for. If you're a math teacher, you went to school. You went to school for math. You got your bachelor's. Maybe you got your master's. Maybe you went even further. But no one taught you, and you learned hard work and you learned grit and resilience yourself through doing. But no one taught you how to teach it. And the same thing actually goes for an Olympian or an NFL player. These things are, you learn these things, but no one taught you how to teach, no one taught you how to express it. So we help the athletes express it. And to your ultimate question there, we provide a full-blown 32-week-long curriculum for teachers. So a year-long, school years-long curriculum that goes through month by month. We deep dive into topics. We provide weekly lesson plans and activities. We provide monthly anchors of athletes. Our SEL Foundation's curriculum, which is online and available right now. We go through September is goal setting. October is emotions and helping students and teachers find their center. November, December is community. January is perseverance. So you come back from the Christmas break and you want to get your students back kind of up and going after the lull of the holidays. Let's talk about perseverance and let's have somebody who is, a wheelchair rugby player who actually used to, Chuck Aoki is the anchor for SEL Foundation's Perseverance Month. And, you know, Chuck actually used to be a teacher himself. You know, let's move into teamwork with a, you know, a woman on the rowing team. Feedback, like think about feedback as something that is, you know, one of the, imagine a classroom of third graders taking feedback from their teacher the way that an, a Paralympic cyclist takes feedback from their coach. You know, mm-hmm. athletes spend their entire day doing something, then turning to their coach and having their coach tell them what they did wrong.
That's right.
And then
that's right.
Correcting it. then excitedly, like
yeah.
they expect for somebody to tell them what they did wrong. And then imagine a class of third graders who came to school with that kind of attitude. Like it's changed the fabric of the classrooms that we have. 99% of our teachers in our research tell us that their classroom culture has improved because of Classroom Champions. And that's, you know, that's what we're doing and what we're trying to do. And what you said, we have supported teachers. We realized that early on. I mean, everything in Classroom Champions evolved from this little thing that, you know, my sister and I did every single
Such
thing.
A
and
little.
All of a sudden we realized teachers were saying, this is great, but how do we relate this? These amazing things, these athletes
mm-hmm.
are saying to our kids, how do we relate that to our kids?
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
when we started doing professional development for teachers. And then they started saying, well, what are other teachers doing? So then we brought in an online platform and community, private community for them to communicate with and share what they're doing. And then the athletes said, well, I really want to see what the kids are doing because I don't want to have that, well, shucks, if one or two kids listen moments. So then we provided areas where teachers can actually post what they're doing in the classrooms, and then the athletes can go in and comment on them in our Mentorship Plus program. So in our Mentorship Plus program, classrooms or entire schools get assigned an athlete, their own athlete for the entire year, and then they do live chats with them, and then they do different communications as well.
Do schools pay for this service?
So we have a hybrid model, yeah. So schools pay as well as donor supplement. So we,
right.
About 3 years ago, we decided to go into the world of you know, asking schools to help bring some skin to the game on
fine.
This one.
That's fine, yeah.
Yeah, oh, no, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And what we realized was all of a sudden we went from having, you know, 5,000 or 6,000 kids a year in the program to, you know, over, you know, this year we'll hit over 50,000 students
amazing?
Participating.
Is that Canada, U.S.? Is that Canada, U.S.? Where is it?
All across the U.S. and all across Canada. So we have, like, Cartwright School District down in Phoenix and Glendale area. Their entire school district, all 20 schools, do,
nice.
You know, run the FEL Foundations program. And we have a lot of other districts that, now that we're just bringing on this new curriculum online, that we're looking to help school districts implement. Because what we found is, you know, FEL is still something that schools are not explicitly focusing on. It's kind of something for a teacher to implicitly, teachers got into teaching not because they wanted to help a child succeed at math. They got into teaching math because they felt that math and kids knowing math was a good way for them to be successful in life. And those things somehow a long time ago, especially in our American education system, got confounded that the teachers were, it wasn't their job to teach, you know, things like perseverance and grit. Those were things that were left to the home.
Well, again,
somewhere
they don't
along
know how
the line,
to teach it. Yeah, exactly.
They don't know how to teach it.
Yeah.
The schools decided that it just wasn't their responsibility. And thus, all of a sudden now, I mean, at the beginning, honestly, Larry, at the beginning of Classroom Champions in 2010, 2011, I'll never forget a teacher from New York City. I went to visit the school when I was in New York visiting my sister. And this guy was in, well, now he teaches in the South Bronx, but he had to kind of almost hide what he was doing from his principal.
Because
if you spent, you know, 40 minutes off.
Yeah, I get it.
If you spent 40 minutes off curriculum, and,
yeah.
you know, this was a topic on, you know, teamwork and friendship.
Yeah.
So nowadays,
scary.
But, you know, it's scary, and luckily nowadays.
Yeah, bureaucracy on that regard, okay, and that was accurate, by the way, but the bureaucracy on that regard, okay, is seriously changing. Most school districts recognize a strong need for SELs, I'm sure you're finding out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
But again, they have to find the right way to do it. And I haven't mentioned the website yet, and it's classroomchampionseverybody.org. And this is really a nice website if you want to check it out, classroomchampions.org. So let me by the way, I think it's K8. Am I right? K8?
It is K8. You got it.
Okay, K8. So everybody, you can check that through elementary through middle school, basically, is what we're talking about here. Okay, with a great SEL program on perseverance, rigor, and all that sort of stuff. And I'm curious, how are you finding, since you've just brought this up, how are they fitting it into the curriculum? Which, by the way, SEL needs to be part, and most people recognize this, of a curriculum. But where are they fitting it in, Steve?
Yeah. They're all over the place, every teacher in every school. And we provide a whole lot of guardrails for this. Within the curriculum, there is, curricular extent within our SEL curriculum, there's curricular extensions of how to tie it into different areas of the curriculum.
Oh, good.
I'll give you one of my favorite examples. A teacher down in Kansas City had done fair play and that kind of realm, is a topic quite often. And we change these things throughout the years. We evolve and adjust topics in the curriculum based upon teacher feedback. And this teacher had decided that, she wanted to work on fair play. They watched, they had a discussion in class. They watched what their athlete mentor had to say, what their Olympian had to say. Then they, whiteboarded and put all the positive values of fair play on one side, treating with respect and, saying thank you to your teammates and things like that. And then on the other side, they had negative values of fair play, whether that was different forms of cheating or, talking down to people, whatever it is. And then they paired up and then they went to recess, except for these kids didn't go to recess to play. They went to recess and they sat in the corners in pairs with a clipboard and their, the positive and negative values of fair play. They checked the boxes where every time they saw other kids at recess from the rest of the school, exhibiting those traits, they would check boxes, and they all came back to class. And what
good
do you
lesson.
Have? The scientific method. So that, and so the teacher was able to, take these things, put them together, have her students really understand and visualize and understand what's happening when it comes to, what fair play means. And then they came back and actually learned something within their science curriculum. So that's just an example that I love to see.
It's a great example. It's a great example.
Engages the kids, gets them excited. Anything these teachers are doing that has to talk or touch on Classroom Champions improves engagement.
Without question, it does. I wanted to ask you, I'm looking at your website, and I noticed there's a young Muslim student that you're featuring on one of the videos here, and, African-American kids. And you heard me say before, as we started the show, about our American Consortium for Equity in Education, we're very, very concerned about that. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to ask you, and this goes back to what you're saying about athletes. Okay.
Yeah.
In many cases, the greatest athletes are people of color. All right. And to me, that's something that should be expounded to the world. Okay. And the NFL is a perfect example of that. Okay. And it's just great. And I'm curious, as you look at this, because you're showing, and watching a little video here, you're showing females, et cetera, students of color.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about this, Steve? And I don't mean to put you on the spot because you weren't really prepared for this, but from an equity point of view, okay, it's really important. And I think sports lends itself to that.
Yeah.
Okay, and the athletes, if I may, lend themselves to that, because there it doesn't matter what color or religion you are. Okay,
mm-hmm.
What matters is how well you do on the field of play.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so just talk about that for a second and put that into the equity into the SEL, into what Classroom Champions does, if I may, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. I think that is one of the greatest challenges of our generation, being the folks who are in charge right now, to get this right, because at the end of the day, it's our generation, the generations before us, that couldn't get this right and have still left this massive gap, especially in America. In Canada, they have this as well, mainly amongst their indigenous population is where they see their biggest gaps. But in America, the equity, the concept of that is, I don't have to explain that to you,
and I don't have to explain that
to your audience. We know I was sitting in D.C. last year, with a superintendent at a superintendent summit, and there was 80 superintendents, and there were some funding conversations going on around things. And the the thing that really struck me, and kind of, it wasn't new to me, but it is going down this vein, which is at the end of the day, they were talking about funding was going to be based upon, performance, student performance. And all the half the superintendents of the room just threw their arms up and said, well, why do we even need a test? Let's just go across. Let's just get average median income for each of these districts and just award the money that way, because we know that's how the scores are going to go, which is the saddest thing in American education when you just have literally superintendents throwing in the towels for funding and saying, let's not even bother with the exercise.
It's called education by zip code. That's what we kind of refer to it as down here. Yeah.
There you go. That's a great way. I haven't heard that before. That's fantastic.
Feel free to use it. It's not original, but feel free to use it. Yeah.
I will. So at Classroom Champions, we decided exactly what you said. So a huge focus at this organization, the mission of the nonprofit itself is focusing on underserved communities. So students who are in those areas. Camden, New Jersey is a great one of my favorite areas that we've worked with.
I'm from Philly. I know Camden real well.
We actually partner with the University of Pennsylvania, and we use the student athletes there.
Oh, good.
We use a lot of NCAA athletes, and those student athletes mentor the kids in Camden and use the same technology that we use throughout the rest of the system. So, from our perspective, there's a few questions there. One is, why athletes? To me, when we think about the stuff that I'm a parent, a lot of your listeners are going to be parents and, educators who are working with kids who take the roles of parents in a lot of ways. What are the things that we're most worried about? We're most worried about the influences on our kids. And the fact of the matter is, out there in society, you don't really have many people out there tearing down your math curriculum. There's not radio shows or TikToks or YouTube, channels that are about trying to disprove the math curriculum. Science and the current administration aside, we'll just put that one on the side there.
Yeah.
But in general, of the curriculum isn't getting messed up by outside forces. But what is getting messed up, or whatever the languages you want to use, is the value set, is the concept of, whether it is money, whether it is fame, whether it's glory, whatever it is, those are the things that are being influenced the most, whether on TikTok or YouTube. And when you look at the media consumption where, over 75% of kids over the age of like 10 are consuming mass amounts of, hours and hours of media a day, what the media they're consuming are these people that parents are a little uncomfortable with our kids learning from. So to me, the antidote is schools focusing on social emotional learning, but also at the same time, for some reason, those social emotional counterbalances in the schools have been things like activities and flashcards and puppets and cartoons and animals and monsters to teach kids life lessons. We cannot think that we're going to counteract the influence of a YouTuber or a TikTok star with flashcards, puppets, and cartoons. It is not going to happen. The way that's going to happen is you have to counterbalance that with good people. You have to put good people in front of kids. And teachers need partners in this work. They cannot do it themselves. One teacher in one classroom cannot overcome the 3 to 4 hours of TikTok consumption kids are getting. But
that's right.
If you can put other people in front of kids that are real people, that are really doing things that are special, that can talk about the work and the dedication and how long it takes, and that engage the kids. And that's where sports comes in. So this leads to your next part, which is how do sports work? Well, sports come in because sports, whether you're a kid who likes sports or not, it's at least engaging, and your friends are engaged in it. So if your friends are engaged in it, you're going to become more engaged in it. So I think that's where sports comes in. And then to your last, to the main real crux of it all is equity. If you are, in a white suburban, upper middle class area, you are, looking at sports and like you said, NFL, NBA, these where you have predominantly the stars are going to be athletes of color. You see them as athletes, but all of a sudden in Classroom Champions model, we're letting kids get to know them as people. And the fact of the matter is we don't call the cops on people we know. And if these kids in some of these areas or rural areas don't know any people of color, they're going to be more apt to, whether it's call the cops or whether it's, go down the list of social woes. And, we've strongly thought not only people of color, but also we've had Paralympians involved since the first year.
Mary
Alice Milford,
thank you for making that point.
She's a wheelchair basketball player. She's fantastic. Jerome Singleton Jr., he's a sprinter who lost his leg. April Holmes is from Camden. She lost half of her leg when she was 19 in a train accident where she slipped on the platform. You've got people like Dan Knossen who, went overseas to fight and lost both of his legs in Afghanistan. These people are coming back, and now they're teaching our kids on a regular basis. And then to the last point about equity,
heroes.
One of our heroes and one of our big beliefs within the equity area is you need to get consistent adults. So not just an adult who comes in and drops out. And whether that is an in-person visit or a Skype, Larry, it's all the same. It's one in, one out. And we wanted to set up a system where these athletes could be consistent people in these kids' lives. And when you're talking about Camden, New Jersey, whether it's a UPenn student athlete or whether it's an Olympian or Paralympian or a football player, as long as these people are consistent, and that's what we do, when athletes sign up and volunteer to do this, they sign on for a full year. Because you can't
And they're assigned a school, if I heard you correctly, or one school, but they are
multiple
assigned
schools.
A school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're assigned classrooms, grade level teams, or entire schools, multiple of those. They, create the same video lesson on a monthly basis. They create, 4 to 6 minute video lessons on each of the topics. And then they hop in a couple times a year. They do, Zooms with the kids. There's like even right now on our curriculum page, we have in-person lessons and curricula. We have social distanced converted curricula. And then we have remote and fully virtual curricula. So we wanted to meet the teachers where they are right now and give them the tools they need, which is
but you
not
had that
just
before. You, if I may, you had that before. You guys were set up. It wasn't meant to happen, but it did happen. Okay, when COVID hit and all the schools closed down, but you guys were set up more virtually. Am I from the get go?
Exactly.
Right?
You nailed it. I mean, we've been virtual from the beginning because it's the only way you can actually get an athlete who's training and competing around the world. It's the only way you can possibly have repeat visits. Is through technology. So, but what we didn't do, and this is where it gets interesting, is though we are a virtual program and everything we do, we can do, all of our activities and lesson plans were clearly set up to be in a school environment for the teachers themselves. So the content was digital, the interactions were virtual and digital, but the activities were clearly meant to be done in within four walls of the school. So we had to kind of meet teachers. So we did a lot of work on the curriculum over the summer.
Well, you and everybody else, and I know it worked out, but you guys are doing a great job. And again, everybody, it's classroomchampions.org. I really like this. This is just a wonderful way to get kids and teachers involved and make it a lot of fun. And I have to ask, who helps you from the – you have grades K through 8, and there's a big difference, obviously, between those grades.
Yep.
All right? Yep. 8 years, but it's a lot more in developmental than it is in just years. And a kid from kindergarten to third grade makes more than a 3 times difference, okay, in their
mm-hmm.
growth, et cetera. All right? Who kind of manages that side, the education side, the grade level side, the pedagogy, if I may? Who does that side?
So the lead on that is our head of education. The lead is my sister, who again was a third grade teacher in Brooklyn, then went and got her PhD in education. So Lee was the root of all of that to begin with. Since then, as we've expanded, Lee sits on our board of directors, but doesn't work at the organization full time. We have an amazing woman named Kat Whitman, who is our director of education programs and some amazing support people. Derry Stevens is as well. And, Angeli Santiago, people that were in the classroom, they were all teachers. They were all teachers at one point and have now crossed over into a world where they wanted to help more teachers than just, themselves and their kids there. So, and then at the same time, we have, PhD psychologists that also help spoil in from both the research as well as a pedagogy side. And Dr. Kelly Mendoza, who's got her PhD in education, who has written multiple SEL curriculums before, has come in over the last year and helped us reshape the current curriculum to make it even cleaner and even more digestible for school systems.
Right. And by the way, I'm looking at a picture on the website, again, classroomchampions.org, of you and your sister, whose last name is now Parisi. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Am I correct?
You are correct.
Yeah, she got – I don't mean to be rude, Steve, but she got all the looks in the family.
She got the looks and the smarts. There's a reason why I wore a helmet in my career.
I was very smart of you to link up with her, I got to tell you, because she seems like a wonderful person. Now, this is really great stuff. You know, we have our magazine, which is Equity and Access. So our consortium's at ASTATCHED.org, and this really interests me. We got a social-emotional learning issue coming up. Can I call you about that and talk to you further about that?
Okay, I would love to.
I want you guys involved in that. That would be great. Yeah. This is terrific, and you should really be proud of yourself for what you've done, my friend.
We never would have thought 11 years ago when we came up with this idea that it would become what it's become today. We never would have thought you'd have teachers like — I'll give a shout out to a few of our teachers here, if you don't mind.
Sure.
A woman named Ella Maya down in Glendale, down in Cartwright, who, you know, is somebody who was, you know, having that 5-year itch, that 5-year burnout, where she was ready to leave the classroom. And she had somebody, a guy named Josh Sweeney, another veteran, as we record this the day after Veterans Day. Josh Sweeney is a guy who, a Texan who left at 18 years old to go to Afghanistan and lost, you know, fully lost both of his legs. Josh came back, in 2010 and went right back to, I think, Walter Reed, to get fixed up, was disappointed he couldn't play hockey. 4 years later, he was on the ice in Sochi, Russia, scoring the game winning goal for the men's sled hockey team, went on to win the Pat Tillman Award at the ESPYs. His mom taught kindergarten in Cartwright School District in Glendale, Arizona, shared this out. Ella Maya picked it up. And ever since then, Ella has won now, I think, at least 2 superintendent's awards for teaching in her district.
Wow.
She was the one who drove to bring Classroom Champions' new curriculum, SEL Foundation's curriculum, into the Cartwright School District. You've got guys like Brett Nietzsche over in the South Bronx, one of the teachers I mentioned earlier, who now no longer has to hide Classroom Champions. He can actually really, you know, get it out there. And I'm honestly, like, I'm proud of those folks. I am super proud of what the organization's become. But frankly, when I look at us right now, I think we are only scratching the surface for what this organization will be. We've become the go-to for sports. During COVID, we had a dozen different, you know, pro sports teams reach out. We partner with the Buffalo Bills. We actually have had conversations with your Boston Bruins. We're about to launch something with the NHL around their Willie O'Ree documentary. Folks, if your listeners haven't heard of Willie O'Ree, O'REE, Willie is the first. He was the first black man to play in the NHL. And
What year that was?
Oh God, it was Brian. It would kill me. Brian McBride is the executive producer. It would be back in mid 20th century.
I think it might be the 40s or the 30s, but it was
don't quote me, Brian would kill me. The Brian McBride, a Bostonian, is the executive producer, and Brian used to be run like community and diversity and inclusion at the NHL as well, and we're working with them to help get that movie out there, because what we want to do, going back to equity, like, we want to make sure that — I think we have to look at this in a few different ways now. You have to look at it the classic, quote unquote, classic way would be, you got to make sure you get kids, put people and put successful adults in front of kids that look like them. So they can if it's, you know, a young black student in Camden, let's make sure that we get, you know, athletes of color in front of them.
Steve, we got to go in just a couple of minutes.
All right, we got to go.
We will do more. Okay, I'm going to call you and we'll talk about all this and we'll get some of those teachers, I hope, air with us. Okay, and it's just that we timed the show, so otherwise I could keep listening to you because I'm really enjoying this conversation. Okay, but we got to go. But I'll call you. Okay, I'll call.
Sounds great.
I promise.
Thank you for having me on.
I have a number for you. Is it this 352 number? I'll just say.
I've got a different number for you, but I can give it to you later. Yeah.
Okay, good enough. I'll get to you, all right, either by email or whatever. Okay? Thank you, my friend.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. and I hated to cut that short, but we'll do more with Steve Messler, who's the co-founder and CEO of Classroom Champions, classroomchampions.org. And I'll tell you, the web, really good website. Check it out. Classroom, besides the program being good, the website is very, very well done. Classroomchampions.org. All right, we'll archive over at ace-ed.org. That is our equity consortium. You can see our magazine over there. Of course, it's free to educators, so please join in. It's an industry-supported consortium, all right? And so educators, pre-K-12, free for you. Go over and enjoy everything we do and sign up with us. All right, we'll archive, as I said, at ace-ed.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, November 12th on 2020. Thanks, Steve, and thank you, Whiteboard Advisors, Tom, and everybody, and thanks for listening.